Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be with you today to serve our Lord together. And Pastor John asked me to share about my faith journey with you. And my topic today is to gaze our eyes upon Jesus, for he is the founder and the perfecter of faith. And I'll talk about the grace of God. As some of you may know already, and Pastor John already mentioned a moment ago, that I recently retired. And yes, I am enjoying my retirement. If you look at me and you may say that, wow, Pastor Moy, how come you are retiring in your 40s? Some people actually come to me and say, you know, Pastor Moy, you're in your late 40s and early 50s. And how can you possibly talk about retirement? And then my response to them would be, thank you very much. And maybe I look young, but I think I'm very close to the retirement age. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I'm going to let you figure that one out. But recently I've been retired and I am enjoying my retirement. And a lot of people ask me what my plan is for the next chapter. Well, I hope to still preach at different churches on the weekend and do some counseling during weekdays. And I have three dogs at home. Three. Two Pekingese and one Maltese. So I walk the dogs every day and take care of my mom. And some of you know that my mom is actually 93 and still getting around and still all there. And she's still getting around and she still cook for me every day. She's 93, but of course, then it takes some more time, some more effort to take care of her from time to time. And also fix up the house a little bit. We've been moving into this house since 1999, so 21 years already. And the house is not exactly falling apart, but it needs some touch up and maybe some painting. So it would take some time to do that. And so I would be quite busy already. But of course, slow down a little bit. And after all, I want to experience my retirement. So first of all, God's redeeming grace that I want to share with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are all sinners, and by ourselves we have no hope. More than 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world, to die on the cross for our sins, to accomplish salvation for us. God's grace came to us, and it was freely given to us, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's grace, man's belief. To receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is truly God's grace. We cannot do anything to gain salvation. If God's grace can be received from our works, then someone can boast by saying, it is me who deserves salvation. But God's grace is a free gift for us. Sinners can only receive by faith. I still remember my older brother and my older sister. They brought me to church when I was 3 or 4. And I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was 12. God's redeeming grace was upon me when I was very young. I knew I was a sinner. I had no hope. And I need God's grace. For Jesus died for me. Since then, I have experienced peace and happiness throughout my life. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I am happy for you. And I thank God for you. Praise God for his grace upon you. If you are still a seeker, I pray that you will come to know God sooner, to get to know this living God, the Almighty God, who can save you from sin, who can save you from death. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God is waiting for you. Second, God's calling grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Praise God for his redeeming grace. Moreover, praise God for his calling grace, calling me into full-time service. I still remember when I was growing up in Hong Kong, I had already felt God's calling. But later, my family came to the United States when I was 16 and a half. I had to adjust the new life here in the U.S. and attended the last 2 years of high school, Shipset Bay High School in Brooklyn, and then college. Then I worked at a major commercial bank in New York City for 12 years. Through all those years, I did not act on working toward full-time ministry. But in the back of my mind, I still sense that calling from time to time. I got married in 1982, and my wife gave birth to our first child, Justin, in 1985. And finally, in 1986, I started to talk to my wife about my calling. And the calling has been getting stronger and stronger. And we prayed about it for 2 years. And also at that time, we have been attending Overseas Chinese Mission, OCM Main Church, since the mid-70s. And we were very active in various church ministries. And we pray about the calling for about 2 years. And finally, I entered seminary training during the fall of 1988. I did not go for full-time study, so I still worked at the bank during the day and spent 2 evenings a week in classes. I completed 11 credits in the first years, 5 credits in the first semester and 6 credits in the second semester. So thank God that I completed 12 credits in the first year. But then I sat down and made a quick calculation. I knew that was too slow. It would take me 8 years to finish the degree program because the entire Master of Divinity program is 93 credits. So it would take me 8 years to finish the degree program. And I knew it was going too slow. Then I started to pray again to God to help me finish quicker. Then I found out that out of the 93 credits program, I can study 18 credits through correspondent courses. At that time, there were no online classes. Actually, at that time, there were no cell phone. Well, maybe there were cell phone at the time, but you know, those cell phones were humongous, that you were holding a big box on your hand, right? At that time, it wasn't that common for everyone to have a cell phone. So at that time, there were no online classes, but so-called correspondent courses. I would require listening to cassette tapes, reading books, and doing the required homeworks. Thus, I utilized the summers for my study. I was able to complete those 18 credits each summer for the next 3 years. Every year, there were also 2 intensive sections, 1 week in May and 1 week in December. I could do 2 credits per week. So I took my vacation days to study for those 2 weeks. And after the second year, somehow the seminary also started Saturday morning classes. So besides the 2 week night evenings, with the addition of the Saturday morning class, I was able to accomplish more than 20 credits per year, even though I was studying part-time. And for the second and for the third years, I was able to do more than 20 credits per year. And for the following 3 semesters, which was the last year and a half, I needed to go to the seminary during the daytime, because I have taken all the evening classes that were offered. And then I prayed to God again, and I prayed about that and share that with my immediate supervisor at the bank. She is a devout Christian, and she said that she would support me to talk to the upper management, because as according to the bank policy, I could not break up my vacation days into hours of the days. But with the support of my supervisor and my years of outstanding performance, the upper management made an exception. And I was able to take classes during the daytime for the next year and a half. Finally, I finished my seminary training in 4.5 years. On the day that I finished my last class, I went back to the bank afterwards on that afternoon and handed in my resignation, for I could not wait to start full-time service. By God's grace, I started full-time ministry in January of 1993 as the English-speaking minister at Jireh Church. You know, we always have that Monday morning blues, right? That most people don't like to go back to work on Monday morning, right? And then Friday afternoon comes, then we say Yahoo, then we enjoy the weekend, right? But actually, for me, it's the other way around. While working 12 years at the bank, not that I don't like my job, I love my job at the bank, but actually, every Friday afternoon comes, I say to myself, Yahoo! Now I go back to the church and serve on the weekend as a lay person. And then Monday morning comes, then the Monday morning brews that I have to go back to the bank. So when I quit my job at the bank, when I started at church, then I say to myself, Yahoo! I'm going to the church to serve him all the time. So I really enjoyed all these years of full-time ministry. So I started full-time ministry in January of 1993 as the English-speaking minister at Jireh Church. It was God's calling grace. And praise God that I wanted to reply to that calling. And to be honest, without the calling of God into full-time ministry, there is no way to go through it. God's grace, God's calling, gazed my eyes on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of faith. Yes, there were happy moments, definitely. It warmed my heart when I see people to believe in Christ and to be baptized into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It warmed my heart when I see people serving and loving the Lord. It warmed my heart to see people worship God joyfully. It warmed my heart to see people dedicate themselves to God. It warmed my heart to see all those things. Yes, there were happy moments. And yes, there were valleys. Serving God actually is not that easy. There were valleys. But by God's grace, I was able to serve for the last 28 years, and I have no regret. If I have to do it over again, I'll do it over again. If God is speaking to you about full-time ministry, wait upon the Lord and answer that call. It is glorious. But if God has not called you into full-time ministry, then serve God where you are at. Be a tent maker. You still be, you will be serving God to become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Third, God's Emmanuel grace. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promised the believers that he will be with us to the end of the age. That is God's grace. No matter what we are experiencing, he will be with us. He will not forsake us through good times and bad times, during hardships and smooth sailing. Thank the Lord for his presence always. Going into full-time ministry, if I tell you there is no pressure, I would be lying. Some people think that being a pastor is the easiest job in the world. Only work one day per week, right? Some people think that way, right? Pastors do just work on Sunday, just one day per week. And once a while, conduct a funeral service. And then once a while, officiate a wedding. Easy. Easy job, right? But maybe something that you don't know. Sometimes it is quite lonely being a pastor. Right, Pastor John? It is lonely sometimes being a pastor. Thank God for his presence. When the Lord is with us, I do not feel lonely. No matter where I go, he is with me. His peace and happiness are always with me. Moreover, God's presence is always and forever. There is a Chinese saying, there is no banquet that doesn't last, but God's presence doesn't last. God's presence is always and forever. Fourth, God's leading grace. Psalm 78, 72. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Likewise, Jesus is a good shepherd, for he laid down his life for his sheep. God is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He leads me to green pastures and to quiet waters. That is God's leading grace. I must testify that when I first came to the U.S., financially, I had nothing to my name. Nothing. Not that now I'm wealthy, but I have everything in Christ. For Paul said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider these things a garbage that I may gain Christ. Now I have everything because I have Christ. For all these years, it was God's leading grace. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior at an early age, immigrated to the United States, attended OCM Man Church and growing up there while in my late teens and early 20s, and then got married. We have a family with three wonderful children and a daughter-in-law and a son-in-law. I worked in a bank for 12 years. Actually, for those 12 years working at a bank, at the beginning of those years, actually, I was praying to God, and I was asking God, didn't you call me to full-time ministry? How come I'm right now wasting my time working in a bank? And actually, later on, I find out that those 12 years was not a loss. It wasn't a waste. Because when I became a pastor, when I try to shepherd God's flocks, then I realized that those 12 years working in a major commercial bank, actually it helped me to know what people are thinking, what they are going through. So although there were times that I was complaining to God, why for me to waste those 12 years? But actually those 12 years was a stepping stone for me to become a minister. So I worked in the bank for 12 years. That was truly God's leading. Responded to God's calling into full-time ministry. Trained in the seminary for 4.5 years. And finally, the last 28 years as a full-time minister. From January of 1993 to August of 1994 as a minister at Jireh Church. From September 1994 to February 2004 as a minister at Grace Church. And actually at that time, we were at the Frederick Dickinson University, the Muskogee Hall. And at that time, actually, each Sunday, we have to move all the hall songbooks and the Bibles and all those things to the building. And then every Sunday afternoon, after we finished, we have to haul back everything. And actually, for quite a few years that we did that. And we thank the Lord for those years that we were able to do that. And then from March of 2002 to August of 2020 as a minister back at Jireh Church. And now starting my next stage of my life, retirement, it indeed has been God's leading grace. In our Chinese hymnal, number 48, God's Way. I love this song so much that it is truly God's way. God's way is the best way, though I may not see. Why sorrows and trials often gather around me? He ever is seeking my gold to refine. So humbly I trust him, my savior divine. God's way is the best way. My path he had planted. I will trust in him always while holding his hand. In shadow or sunshine, he ever is near. With him for my refuge, I never need fear. God's way shall be my way. He knoweth my best. And leaning upon him, sweet is my rest. No harm can befall me. Safe shall I be. I'll cling to him ever. So precious is he. God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. I will trust him always. He knoweth the best. Today, God is still leading us. During this health crisis, do not be afraid, knowing that God is still leading us. I still remember when Jireh Church first shut down in mid-March. And actually at that time, I was thinking maybe at best, the most, maybe we'll shut down for 2 months at that time. That was my thinking. But unfortunately, this pandemic, this health crisis has lasted this long till now. It's already been like 9 months, and we are still struggling through this health crisis. So do not be afraid. As long as we do what needs to be done, wear a face covering, wash hands often, keep safe social distancing, then trust God that he will lead the way. Gaze our eyes upon God. Even though sometimes we feel trapped, but we can still look up. And most of us are still working at home, and we're still not be able to go back to our workplace, and students still study at home. And sometimes we do feel trapped, right? We cannot go out to a larger crowd, and sometimes we do feel that we are trapped. I do feel that way sometimes. But wait upon the Lord. Even though we feel trapped, we can always look up to God because that passage is always open. Pray that we can safely reopen again and worship God together physically. So gaze our eyes on Jesus and knowing that he is the founder and perfecter of faith, and he is still leading us each step of the way, every day of our lives. Lastly, the Lord's returning grace. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house have many rooms. If there were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." After we have received Christ as our personal Savior, we are still here in the world for a little while. We are passing by only. We are passing by. This world is not our home, for we are waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The returning of our Lord is truly a great promise. Jesus promised us that he will return and he will take us to be there with him. And not only did he promise us of this, of his presence always, he also promised us that he will return and he will be with us forever. And that is our glorious hope. In this world, we experience many hardships. In this world, we have experienced many difficulties and death and tears and sorrows. But in the kingdom of God, there's no more tears. There's no more death. There's no more fear. And we can experience God's presence forever. And let us look forward to the kingdom of God. Let us look forward to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are only passing by in this world. And someday we will see Christ face to face. And that is our hope. And we long for that moment to come. So brothers and sisters, friends, let us gaze our eyes upon Jesus, for he is the founder and the perfecter of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for me to share my faith journey. May your name be honored. Continue to watch over each one of us and pray for all the brothers and sisters here at Grace, and be with us till the time that we see you face to face. And we are longing for your coming so that we can see each other face to face. And we are longing for the kingdom of God. And Father, may your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for today that we can worship you together, and may you continue to speak to each one of us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray all this and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.